uns demütigt und uns
Thank you, Lord. Humble us that you chase us. We really treasure your word in Isaiah that shows you as such a suffering. Teach us also to grow in this also. Yeah, it's really impressive to see how the Lord served so different from us. In Isaiah 52, verse
15, it
says that he will astonish many of the Gentiles. And just in that way, when I read Isaiah 53, I was astonished what kind of a man the Lord was, how he lived, how he gave himself for the will of God. And without seeing any immediate apparent fruit. In verse 2, it says that he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The Lord was not one who showed everything that he had or that was in him, and we can really learn from him in this. We can learn from his humility. And for us, it's very important to see that in all circumstances, he served under many different kinds of conditions. So here it says that he grew up as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. And sometimes the situation or the environment where the Lord puts us is not particularly fruitful. And maybe he puts us in a place that is totally seems unfruitful. The ground seems dry. We think we will not be able to accomplish anything. We might even think the Lord is wasting us, because we cannot accomplish anything there. But that's because we think we can do anything out of ourselves. Yeah, actually, it's easy to bring fruit from a good ground. That's not hard. But the Lord could bring fruit forth for the Lord out of a dry ground. Even though people didn't notice, he brought forth fruit for the Father. And even when he served on this earth, we can read a verse in Mark 6:6. And we see what kind of environment the Lord Jesus was serving in. And it says, he marveled because of their unbelief. So we too are in an environment today filled with unbelief. Regardless of where we are, people do not believe. But it didn't matter to him. He went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So it didn't matter to him how many people believed, but he went on to continue to teach and serve. And that also has to be our view and our attitude, not just to look upon the unbelief of the people around us, but to continue to teach and to proclaim the word of the Lord, because that is what produces belief. He did not continue to marvel because of their unbelief, but he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. He served. And that has also been my experience. The Lord put me at the university here in Vaihingen, and the Lord always says, go out and preach the gospel. And very often I say to the Lord, why should I go there? No one's going to listen anyway. We're out there almost every day, but there's no fruit. No one is coming to the Bible study, and many say they'll come, but they don't come, and no one's being saved. So what's the point? What can I do for you here, Lord?
Hat in mir so gezeigt, hey,
that the Lord showed me. Nonetheless, go out and teach the word. Even if you don't see any fruit immediately, it is having an effect. It's changing me. It is humbling me. If I am so successful, then in the end I'll think I accomplished something and I did it, but the Lord really wants to break us down. And still, He always gives us comfort. He comforts us. And once someone came to me at the university, it was a professor, and he approached me, and I thought, oh, what's going to happen now? And, you know, respect a professor. The professor came to me and said, hey, thank you that you are so often out here preaching the gospel. At first, I didn't understand, but I always just saw you out here preaching the gospel and how you called after people. And I always just heard it on the periphery. And I thought to myself, I don't need this. I know everything already. But because I always saw you out there and you spoke of the word, I started to read in the Bible. And this professor said to me, I realize I know nothing. I need Jesus. I see that Jesus is coming back soon. And I had never spoken to the professor about this, but just through the fact that we were always out there, constantly out there, we didn't see much fruit, but he was saved through this. And that's how the Lord can work. We don't see it. We don't necessarily see what the Lord wants to do, but we have to obey His voice. If we obey His voice, then there will be fruit. Fruit for Him. Fruit that we cannot necessarily be proud of ourselves, but that the Lord brought forth. And the environment the Lord put us in can really seem like very dry ground. And if we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, His family even didn't believe Him. And often we are in such an environment where no one wants to hear, even our own family is against us. And they say, oh, you're too extreme, or why do you say such things? But the Lord still believed and served. Amen. And another point that became important to me is that through suffering we learn to trust the Father. If we don't suffer, then we really trust and rely in our flesh automatically because we think we don't need the Lord. But we see in the example of Jesus Christ that because He was chastened by the Father, He learned obedience and He learned to trust the Father, so that in the end He really relied solely on the Father. In the end He said, Father, I command my spirit to your hand. And that's how it is for us too. If we serve, the Lord will let us go through suffering so that we would learn to fully rely on Him. Praise the Lord. This is really good, this example that we see in Isaiah 57:15. It says, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's what the Lord wants to lead us into today, that we would have a humble and contrite spirit, that He can really dwell in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. These sufferings are multifaceted. Like we see in the outline, there are other points that show these different sufferings. In Roman numeral 2 of the outline, point 5, it says, He opened not His mouth. And this is a point in which the Lord wants to deal with us. If we suffer and then we go to our friend and we right away go and say, oh, here's all the terrible things I experienced, and I'm doing so bad, and we complain, but the Lord did not complain. Isaiah tells us he did not open his mouth as a lamb that is led to the slaughter. We need to learn this. And it's better for us not just to keep silent, but to learn to pray, to bring them before the Lord while we keep silent. In verse 12, at the end, it even says that he prayed. He made intercession for the transgressors. And so we also have to learn this. Instead of opening our mouth, let us keep our mouth closed. And I experienced it this week, and I felt that I was being dealt with unjustly, and I wanted to open my mouth and say, and use my own self-righteousness and say, hey, why are you doing this? But the Lord really, He really warned me, and he said, don't do this, pray to me. I can't change people and I can't draw them, but alone the humanity of the Lord can gain people if they see him expressed through us, and if we see how prepared we are to suffer. That's what impresses people. People are not impressed by how much we know, or how nice this building is, or so many different outward things will not draw people. But it's the humanity of the Lord to endure injustice and to intercede for the transgressors and to bear them, to bear suffering for them. May we all also learn this for the building up of the body. It's not a matter of us accomplishing redemption as Christ did. We're not capable of this. But I really... Yeah, this verse in Colossians became precious for me, that we would learn to fill up the lack for the church. Not for the redemption, but for the church. We want to be perfected. We want to see that something is made mature. And for this, much must be trimmed from the vines also in the end, so that the fruit can be brought forth. The Lord desires that we would bring forth fruit. Amen. The Lord needs obedient followers. Amen. Lord, we praise you. Thank you for your rich word. It's a really powerful word, what Thomas just said. It's not a matter of salvation, because the Lord, as a servant, already suffered for our salvation. But today, it's a matter of us filling up or completing what is lacking for the sake of being perfected, because the Lord wants to come back, and we have to be prepared. We have to be perfected, capable to receive the inheritance that he has prepared for us. Isaiah shows us this, and actually the entire Word of God shows us this. And I just opened Peter in 1 Peter 1. Shows that the Lord, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, has begotten us again to a living hope, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4. This is such a great salvation. And then he goes on to talk about this salvation and shows us, after our salvation, after the redemption, we are saved, but there is a further salvation. And it's so precious that all the prophets sought it. Verse 9, receiving the end of our faith, the goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls. of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. This is very interesting. And what is it that the prophets told us? What do we read in Isaiah? Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls, is the goal, that our soul would express God. This is something the prophets already sought. And they testified that it is the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Verse 11, and as the brothers already mentioned, in the last three verses of this precious chapter, it is about the glory that comes after the suffering. Isaiah 53:10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. This word is the truth. Look around, there is so much seed in this room alone. The Lord has gained so many people and given them the life of God, who became children of God from the East and from the West, from Korea, from the US. The Lord has gained seed everywhere, but it only could be done because he went through this way. He went this way of the cross. And this word is for us. He also said that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. So if we only care about our own things and worry about our own soul and how our own soul is doing, then there will be no spiritual fruit. In the end, nothing will remain that you can take with you. You remain alone. But if you let your soul life die, if you put your soul life to death, then much fruit will be brought forth. And the Lord wants us to also have the seed to grow, have fruit. He wants to see fruit come forth. And we just heard about the vine. Recently, for the festal gathering, we were with some saints who had grapes growing in their garden. And we watched how there was one very strong branch of the vine. It was the most powerful, longest, strongest branch in the vine. Really long, but there was not a single grape hanging from it. And we said, oh, you gotta cut that one off. He's just for himself. But that's our life. If we are just fulfilling our own life and just care about our own life and how our life is doing, that we have a nice life, and there's no trimming, there's no cutting, then there will be no fruit for God. And it shows that God wants this precious fruit. And that's what the suffering is necessary for. The Lord said that he suffered this for the joy set before him. He had this joy in view. And we surely have heard this many times. What's the goal that the Lord has for us? What is the joy? We have to change our thinking, change our perspective. Now we have to see the joy that is set before us. And Paul also said, I will rejoice in the sufferings for you. And I fill up in my flesh what is lacking. Amen. Yeah. What is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. We know these verses, but I also realize the world wants to blind us and, yeah, veil our eyes so that we cannot see this. He wants to see a seed. Amen. Yeah, as it says in Isaiah, he shall prolong his days. Actually, Christ was given into death, but he resurrected to eternal life. He was the first fruit, the firstborn. So his days are really prolonged. They are prolonged into eternity. In a servant, we also must see this. What the Lord... Yeah, what we do with our time. Do we give the Lord our time? Often we think, I don't have enough time, and you want to do this, and you want to do that. But it's so good to lay hold of the Lord Jesus as the true servant and to give our time to the Lord. Sometimes you want to prolong your time to do something nice for yourself. But sometimes I realize that's such a wrong concept. Oh, I want to do this, this, and this, but oh, I can't. I have to serve the Lord. Have you ever had such a thought? Peter also said, Lord, we left everything and followed you. What do we get for this? What's our reward? Actually, it's so precious that you are able to be with the Lord. You can know him. You can serve him. He redeemed you. He didn't just make you, but he redeemed you. He bought you. We actually don't even have a right to do our own thing. He created us and then he redeemed us. We belong to him fully, and to know him and to serve him should already be the highest reward, that we can be drawn by him to experience his love. He loves us as no one else loves us. And yet he says to Peter, if you leave everything, your father, your mother, brother, sister, your house, then you will receive 100-fold. 100-fold in this time, but with tribulation. And in the future, you will get the kingdom and the eternal life. And I realize this, if you serve the Lord and you leave, you forsake things, you prolong your days, you prolong your life. Because we follow the Lamb into the kingdom. Sometimes it's like this bowl of beans. Like Esau, yeah. You just want something in the moment, and you think, oh, just because I have to serve the Lord, I can't have this other thing, I have to forsake this thing. But we don't see how much the Lord actually wants to prolong our days. He wants to prolong our life so that we can reign with him in the millennial kingdom, to enter with him into the joy of the Lord, to be with him in the wedding feast. This is so precious.
Yeah.
I'm really also happy for all the saints, for the priesthood. It's a good training. Sometimes my colleagues say to me, oh, now you're married, then you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'm so glad that I don't have to do all this vanity, these vain things, because sometimes at home, it's so good. Yeah, it's so good at home to have this goal together, this view. The Lord wants us to reach the goal together, so with small things. I was glad to hear yesterday, sometimes it's the small things where you have to deny your soul. It almost feels like nothing, but still, it's a great gain if you redeem that situation, use that situation. I saw the fruit in our kitchen a few days ago. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go and make a nice smoothie for myself. And my wife said, no, it's almost time for the meeting. Deny your soul life. You don't have time for a smoothie. And I thought, praise the Lord for the priesthood. Or 2 days ago, I wanted to go to the lake. And I said, oh, tonight I'm going to the lake. And then a brother said to me, it's conference time. We don't have time for that. We have to prepare for the conference. And sometimes we are corrected by the brothers, but maybe sometimes they're not quite right. But either way, we should rejoice and be encouraged. You know, sometimes someone says something to you and your soul does not like it at all. I'm right. I had the right to do this. And I want to do it. But even in such small things, to be prepared to suffer because I have a goal. And I also like these verses in Timothy. We had some fellowship with the brothers. And it's a matter of suffering also as a good soldier to Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy. Verse 3, it says, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ so that you can have the prize in the end. And it also talks about the hardworking farmer so he can be the first to partake of the crops. And also, if you compete in athletics, you are not crowned unless you compete according to the rules. So all three of these examples are, they have to go through some suffering to get the reward. If it's time for the harvest and you're a farmer, you can't just not do the harvest because it's raining and instead you spend some time with your family inside. No, you have to go out. You have to know now it's the time to go. Otherwise the fruit will rot. You have to harvest it right away. And it's the same thing with the athlete. He has a goal, and so to reach his goal, he has to train, and there's suffering involved. So we really have to see what is the goal the Lord has, and then for this, we have to be willing to suffer. I will go through the suffering to reach the goal. And a soldier can, and for a soldier, it could be an easy situation, but there can also be a lot of suffering, and that's what the soldier trains for. And this is the time today where the Lord is sending us sufferings and he's training us. Once I talked to a lieutenant and he said to me, they do this basic training, and then he said they send people into the wilderness for 3 days with just 1 day's ration. And then after 3 days they come back and there's a table of food, wonderful food, but before they can eat, they have to wait for the officer to come. But then before the officer can come and let them eat, they put an alarm that they all have to go out and do training. They can't eat after all. And they said, this is the thing that frustrates the soldiers most, when they see the food and they're almost about to be able to eat it, but then they have to go out and train. And that really brings down their morale. But he said, this is the best kind of training to make the soldiers ready to suffer. And if they have a task, an appointment, they can't, if they're thinking, oh, I don't have any food, I want this and I want that, they're not ready to accomplish the goal. And like this, we also have to have this suffering as a training. If you want to achieve anything, like these soldiers, if they know they have a goal, they have to accomplish it. If there's no food, there's no food. They know. It doesn't matter. I have to accomplish the goal. So these are examples that Paul is giving us in 2 Timothy to show us we have the greatest goal in this universe. God wants to make us kings and priests. He wants to bring forth fruit. But the way to accomplish that is not just through enjoyment, but he must change something in us. And this transformation, that touches our soul, it hits our soul. But he will prolong his days. He will prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. This is a precious verse. Amen. The pleasure or the purpose of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Amen. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I also wrote down some verses in Daniel. Daniel came a few hundred years after Isaiah. And Isaiah speaks much of the sufferings for glory. And Daniel also saw. I'll read to you from Daniel 7:13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the... So he sees how the Lord Jesus, after he suffered, is coming before the throne, 600 years before it happened. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So it says in Isaiah that the pleasure of the Lord, the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. The pleasure of the Lord is to gain the kingdom and the dominion. And here in Daniel, we already see that Christ had the dominion. And in Daniel 7:22, it says, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. In 27, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to whom? To the people, the saints of the Most High. This is a really powerful word. His dominion, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. And there are many such verses that show this is God's goal. The Lord himself went through suffering so that he could ascend before the throne, and all might, power, and glory is given to him, and he will reign over the whole earth. He will rule. And he also wants to give us his saints, and he will give his saints the kingdom. And the question is, are we those who are with him in this? And it says that the Lord is such a servant that the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And this servant is dwelling in us, and he also desires that his pleasure for us to receive the kingdom, that this would prosper in our hand, that we would live Christ. This is the purpose for which he has called us. Praise the Lord. And so, to conclude, I just want to say it's so good to see the Lord has a plan, and he will bring us there. And it is a way that goes through tribulations, but we can tell the Lord, Lord, we believe that everything you send our way is will serve for us to the best. And if we don't understand today that the Lord is using these situations to save our soul, yeah.